GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com. This is the George Hill Rick Tyler Show, taking a close look at the November 5th ballot. And in our studio, Paul Melrose. He's the co-founder of CompoTech. Paul, welcome into Spacious Studio 7. Warm enough in there for you with George?
Thank you, Rick. It's perfect in here. Appreciate you having me on the show.
Yeah. Before we get into what's going on in the ballot, and George, I will ask you to turn up Paul's microphone because he is awfully quiet. Mm-hmm. We want people to be able to hear you. For those that don't know, tell us about CompoTech. How'd you guys come to be? What do you guys do?
So CompoTech, we're a spinoff from the University of Maine's Advanced Structures and Composites Center, and we're really born out of research and development. For those of you who don't know, the Advanced Structures and Composites Center over the University of Maine, it's one of their biggest, most prestigious research labs, and a lot of great work's coming out of there. And then CompoTech was born really to commercialize some of the work that was going on there, specifically in the defense sector. So my co-founder, Jacques Nader, and myself, we started CompoTech to be able to really commercialize the products and find a home for the manufacturing and the production and the research and development on the commercial side right here in the Bangor region.
Okay.
You started with 3 employees. You now have 60 or so. Why don't we know more about you?
Well, we're a defense contractor, so we don't really broadcast and advertise a lot about what we do overall. So, there's an aspect of security and whatnot.
It's
so.
A need-to-know basis, George. You don't need to know.
Yeah, but I want to know.
I know.
45,000-square-foot manufacturing facility.
Yes, yeah, and it's expanded. We started off with 2 offices back in 2014 when we moved to the Brewer location, and we've continuously expanded. The building's about 125,000 square feet, and we keep occupying more and more of it as the operations grow.
Okay, and I think you can tell us what you actually make. We've hinted it because we've seen the videos, and we've hinted on the air. It's not that you built a better mousetrap. You've built better housing for soldiers.
That's correct. Yeah. So our company's all about protection. So the products we work on protect our troops in some way. So our first product is a ballistic protection system made to protect, replace sandbags. So instead of having to do the laborious work of filling sandbags, you can put up a composite armor wall to protect your shelter quicker, and it's more mobile, so it can be moved around to new locations. We've got a portable building as well. We've had these deployed up in Alaska all through the winter up there, made for harsh environments. And then also, we started a software division just a few years ago.
So you call it ESPS?
Yes, we do.
ESPS.
Expeditionary Shelter Protection System. I got through that.
That's good.
By the way, in one of the videos, it's kind of, if I saw this correctly, or if I heard this correctly, because people are going to be fascinated by this. Literally, if there are troops on the ground that need this ESPS, the big helicopter can come flying overhead, airlift it, drop it down. They go in with the ratchets and the screwdrivers. I don't know what you need for it, but and they can put together this unit, which is stronger, more flexible, and faster to erect than sandbags.
That's 100% true. Really, the mobility is what the troops are missing. And then there's a lot of areas that you go to that don't have sand. When our troops were in Afghanistan,
that's right. Yeah.
There's a lot of rock there. So it's hard to fill a sandbag with fist-sized rocks. So really, the system allows the flexibility to have the protection wherever they go.
Been a long time since I had to think about such things, but deployment happens fast. Quick, if you're dealing with what we dealt with back in previous conflicts like Korean, et cetera, you had to move tents, you had to move. Deployment now is very rapid, so it seems to me the deployment of your system really solves that problem to a degree.
Oh, definitely. Just for comparison, a typical military tent that troops would be living into or operating their missions out of, it would take them, with four people, an entire week to set up the sandbags around just one tent. And that's only to get the sandbags up 5 feet tall. Our system, those same four troops can do it in 1 hour.
Wow.
Wow, yeah.
We're talking with Paul Melrose. He's the co-founder of Compotech. And we're telling you all of this. And again, note what he said in the beginning. Compotech was a fantastic idea, helped be brought to life at the Advanced Composites Research Center at the University of Maine. And we know Dr. Habib Dagher, he's been on the program a whole lot of times, and using these composites to build something lighter yet stronger. And now we talk about what is question two on the November ballot on November 5th. What is question two, Paul?
Well, question two is a research and development bond. There's been a few of these in the history of the state. And, you know, this money goes to groups like Maine Technology Institute, and they help deploy it across businesses and research institutes to make sure that Maine can stay ahead in the research and development. And it's really where this advanced technology, that's where growth and innovation comes from.
I don't have it in front of me immediately, but $25 million in research and development is going to be the bond.
Yes, that's right. Correct.
That's okay. Question two.
Yeah. Let's hang on a second, Paul. We're going to distance you from this discussion, this part of the discussion, because we don't want you to get in trouble for anything. But, George, $25 million seems like a drop in the bucket.
That was my first take of it when I looked at it. I said, and I hate to use the term pencil dust, but when you talk about R&D and you talk about bond issues, $25 million does seem to be a small number. Now, I know people say, we could take that out of that money that we talk about every week.
Yeah, but when Henry Beck calls in with a Maine State Treasurer, Henry Beck calls in once a month to the program, and he opens the books, and he just, it's not his money, it's our money. He just tells us how much is there, and there's a lot of it there. But borrowing $25 million with the credit rating that the Maine, that state has right now, that just seems awfully. Every time Yellow Light Breen from the Maine Development Foundation is on with us, and we have the gold stars and the red flags, what often shows up as a red flag?
That we spend so little in R&D.
In R&D compared to other states.
And we're down to about four. I read yesterday, I think 43rd or something in the nation. And we have not had an R&D bond in Maine since 2017. That people say, well, we have one every election. No, we don't.
No.
No, we don't.
It may feel that way, because there may be certain aspect, maybe education bonds come out, but an R&D bond is different. Again, Paul, we're distancing you from this so you don't get in trouble with the boss. Well, wait, you are the boss.
I don't know what he thought he was going to get into here today, but they put up a little thing here, and it's got ceramic all around him.
Mm-hmm. So, he's protected. He's not getting rid of this. Yeah. Well, in your perspective, Paul, what has been, I don't know if I can ask you this, maybe it's a fair question. In your perspective, what has the return on investment been for the research and development bonds that maybe we have said yes to? Do you have any perspective to share on that?
Certainly the return's been really high. So there's companies out there like Jackson Lab. They've received research and development money in the past. And if you look at how that facility's grown, for me, you know, I didn't know that they have such a global presence now. So mm-hmm. really that small laboratory is really expanded all over the world. And all that was just grown here from Maine in research and development. And, you know, that's one of the sectors that this bond wants to support. For Compotech, you know, we work in information technology, advanced materials, composites, and precision manufacturing. So that's three sectors that the state's been focused on. Mm-hmm. And for us, the money has been very, very important. So we actually got loans from the Maine Technology Institute. So as we're successful, we're paying back into that fund so that can get reinvested. And that'll really help that $25 million go further when groups like Maine Technology Institute loan the money out, you know, with the hope of getting paid back when the R&D is successful.
Mm-hmm. That came out of the legislature, an act to authorize a bond issue. That was the LD 416. The governor signed it, and here we are talking about it. I'm going to assume that your biggest client would be the U.S. Army or military.
Yes, yeah, military for sure. And our biggest client is the U.S. Army. We're expanding across the forces. We have Air Force as clients as well, and we keep diversifying across of the DOD.
I'm surprised you have time to even step away from the office to talk with us. Your phone is probably ringing 24/7.
Definitely. Yeah. We're extremely busy. One of the unique things with Compotech, too, is the amount of growth that we've been able to do. So each year, the Inc. 5000 puts out a list of fastest growing companies. And for the last 2 years, we've been on that list, in our top 10 for Maine for fastest growing companies. So we've really had a lot of growth. And what that growth means is jobs for people right here in the state.
You got me thinking, probably that's a danger. But I understand what the military applications are. But I was wondering if we had these things available across the country. When people are isolated, maybe an accident, an airplane accident or something, and people are stranded on a mountain or something, a helicopter could come in and put the shelter down to protect them. Is that far-fetched or is that possible?
That's certainly possible. We've been looking at applications like that all over. So as we grow, eventually we want to commercialize and expand into new markets as we go. So, a neat thing with the R&D too is the Department of Defense also invests in R&D. So that's really how we have got some of our products off the ground. They have Small Business Innovative Research, and we'll go after those grants and really leverage investments from the state to go out and bring more dollars in.
A nice text message from someone who apparently has worn the uniform and served the nation. And first of all, if it's a guy that sent this, thank you for your service. They write to us, yeah, but sandbags build character. this listener has a question. If there's anything that we can't ask because the government is going to come in and take and shut us down, please don't answer, Paul. But please ask Paul. What happens when the bunker gets hit with an explosive or a bullet? Does it turn into flying debris that could possibly hurt a soldier that's on the outside?
We've done a lot of testing to make sure that wouldn't happen. We'll call it that secondary debris, We've gone through, and really this was a lot of fun when I was doing the research and development. We'd go down to different military facilities and actually test it against the threats that were out there, whether it's improvised explosive devices or...
Okay, so just tell the truth. You had fun because you got to blow stuff up.
It is. I'd kind of describe my job as, have you ever watched Mythbusters? That's what we get to go down and do.
By the way, Maureen Terry was the sponsor of LD-416 with a co-sponsor of State Senator Russell Black and a co-sponsor of Michael Brennan. So it was bipartisan 416. But gosh, yeah, 25 million. How many entrepreneurs are we going to be able to help with 25 million? I'm not necessarily asking you, Paul. I don't want you to get in trouble. I'll ask that rhetorically or ask that of you, George.
I would think quite a few. It wouldn't solve the problem because we're number 44 in the country or something like that. And that figures we're not a rich state. It wouldn't match up with California. It wouldn't match up with some of the Southwest. But that money would be valuable.
Anybody else coming over and trying to do what you're doing? Have you hidden all the documents and everything and the patents? And I'm guessing you're pretty well protected in that regard.
Certainly we're very secure as far as our intellectual property. And we actually do more work on the open source side now for things like software development as well. So that's a great area where there's collaboration. But the way you put these software tools together that are open is really, that's your secret sauce.
I just love this idea and I didn't know anything about it and I'm mad.
Why? Because you didn't have it when you were serving?
Oh, goodness gracious, no. My foxholes. Modular, they're insulated, they're anchored down quickly in any kind of climate. What's not to like with these things? I know you have a thing called a Minotaur.
That's correct, yeah. And that was actually born out of research and development as well. So AFRICOM was looking for a shelter just like you described, and they also wanted it not to get eaten by termites and other things. We don't have to worry about that.
That's
very much
thing.
In Maine, if you haul a bunch of plywood over to Africa, it may not be there when you come back from your mission. So there's a bunch of different things that the military wanted, and that product's been going great for us.
Oh, someone recognized your voice. You guys chatting with Paul Melrose? Mm-hmm. Great guy. I've done work with him over the years. And 9 thumbs up emojis that come with that text message to us, Paul. Another listener wants to know, so they're warm. How warm? I'm looking at the price of home heating oil.
Very warm. So, a tent, and if anyone knows much about insulation, the larger your R number is, the better. So
R value, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Exactly. So a well-built house might have R19 in your walls. A tent might have R1. Our shelter has R25 overall. So even more than typical home construction. Up in Alaska, they would put their typical heater they'd use for the tent to heat our shelter, and they were really able to turn it into almost a sauna. I think it was one of the most popular things on the base.
We got about less than a minute here,
okay.
And we do not have time for the question from the person that wants to volunteer to come to help with the blasting. Thank you for that. But you think question 2 on the November ballot is a good choice?
I do, certainly. It certainly helped my company get off the ground, and we'd like to see more of that happening in the state of Maine. We got to catch up if we're ranked so low in R&D and R&D investment.
GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com.